This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We're now several years past the Great Recession. Here in Michigan, we have seen unemployment numbers go down to the lowest level we've seen in the last decade. Auto sales and profits are booming. Construction is up. Houses are selling again. But the 2015 Kids Count data book, out today from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, is finding the rising tide of recovery has not lifted all boats, and that's especially true here in Michigan. Laura Speer is with us now. She's the Associate Director of Policy Reform and Advocacy at the Annie E. Casey Foundation. Welcome, Laura.
Thanks for having me.
These numbers are significant in the data book in that they're looking at the period from what, about 2008 to about 2013. So we actually get to straddle those years of the Great Recession and the recovery for some comparison. What did you find?
There are still many millions of families that have been left behind by the economic recovery. The child poverty rate at the national level, as well as in Michigan, has still not recovered to its pre-recession level. And in the state of Michigan, 24% of children are living in families with incomes below the poverty line, about one in four. It's really about those families that have not been able to benefit from economic recovery. And even though they may have been able to get a job, the wages of those jobs just haven't kept pace with what's needed to make ends meet for a family.
When we look at your report and we see that rate of one in four Michigan children living in poverty, 524,000 Michigan kids, and that's actually higher than in 2008.
That's right. In 2008, which many considered to be sort of the height of the recession, the child poverty rate in the state of Michigan was 19%. In 2013, it was 24%. And certainly part of what we expect to see when we get the 2014 and 2015 child poverty rates for the state of Michigan and for the U.S. overall is that there will continue to be some improvements, we hope, because at least historically, the child poverty rate has tracked very closely with the unemployment rate. So as employment has gone up, child poverty has gone down. With this recovery, we're hopeful, but we're not certain that that's going to continue to happen because so many low-wage jobs, the wages have just stayed very low. And those families, they may be working, they may have been able to get a job, are getting jobs that are relatively low paid. And we also know that a lot of folks have dropped out of the workforce. And so they may or may not be showing up in a lot of the numbers that we see about unemployment.
So this kind of idea of, yeah, there's a recovery, but there are big pools of stagnant water.
That's absolutely right. We know that many millions of families have really been left behind. The rising tide did not lift all boats, and that sort of rising inequality in the country and in most states. And we actually, another big finding of this year's report is that rate of children living in areas of concentrated poverty has gone up. It's continuously gone up over the last half decade or so, which we know is not good for kids because those neighborhoods are places where most of the time they don't have access to high-quality early childhood education. The schools may not be the best schools for them to access. Oftentimes, there's not safe places to play. And so we know that that can harm children's development, and it's something that we think is troubling, certainly, for kids in America.
Laura, the 2015 data book looks at these key trends in child well-being, looking at economic well-being, education, family and community, and health. Can you tell us how Michigan ranked in those four domains?
Michigan ranked 33rd in economic well-being, 37th in education, 23rd in health, and 29th in the family and community domain. And so we take those four areas, and in each of those areas, we have four separate indicators that we track, and we sort of add them together and average them. And so overall, for child well-being, the state of Michigan ranked 33rd out of the 50 states in terms of how well kids are doing.
And interesting that Michigan's worst ranking in education, especially noting preschool attendance, has dropped since 2008. And yet Governor Rick Snyder has made early childhood education and early literacy one of his priorities. Is it the wrong kind of initiatives? Is it too little, too late? Or do you think the recent expansions and state investments will eventually pay off?
Well, the data that we looked at in terms of school preschool attendance came from basically 2012. So it's a couple of years back now. Expanding access to early childhood programs is a great thing, especially for working parents, because those working parents who are working in low-wage jobs, getting access to childcare can often be a make or break in terms of whether or not they can keep their job. And and be successful in that job. And we know that high-quality early childhood education can make a huge difference for children, especially children coming from more disadvantaged families. So expanding those programs, especially if they're high-quality programs, can make a huge difference for kids. And so we would expect to see that these numbers would improve with increased investment in the state.
Laura, are there any bright spots for Michigan in the 2015 Kids Count data book?
Certainly, the rate of children with health insurance in the state is a bright spot. Only 4% of children lack health insurance in the state of Michigan. It's better than the national average. And so we know that that's really important for kids. Having access to health insurance coverage means that they're more likely to have regular health care, have a regular doctor that their parents can become comfortable with and be able to track their development. So we know that having access to health insurance is important. During that time period, in most places, access to employer-sponsored health insurance has actually declined. So this is really about stepping in with public health insurance for kids, and it's really made a huge difference for many millions of children across the country.
Looking at this overall picture, realizing that as we see, we have more Michigan kids living in poverty now than during the Great Recession, what policy recommendations would turn this around?
This is about supporting and providing tools for working families to be successful. We know that that's the best way to help children's economic well-being is to help ensure the success of their parents. We pointed to a few things in our report that we think can really make a difference. First one is the Earned Income Tax Credit. It's the biggest anti-poverty program directed at children and families that we have in our country right now. About 5 million children are lifted out of poverty by the Earned Income Tax Credit every year. And states that have implemented and kept solid their own earned income tax credits have made a big difference in terms of supporting working families and providing them tools to succeed. Another policy that we think can make a difference for supporting working parents is the implementation of things like paid sick leave, employers providing paid sick leave to parents, because especially in jobs that are hourly jobs, that are often low-wage jobs, if you're a parent and your child gets sick and you need to take care of them, it can mean the difference between keeping your job, sort of worst-case scenario, losing your job, or at least having a whole lot less money in your paycheck by the end of that week, and that may mean you can't pay the bills. So those kinds of benefits are really critical for working parents especially, and so we think that that can make a big difference.
And yet, Laura, here in Michigan, we've got lawmakers in Lansing pushing to eliminate the state EITC to help raise money to fix our roads. What do you think it would take to convince a Republican-controlled legislature to not do that and to preserve the Earned Income Tax Credit?
Well, that's a tough question, but the Earned Income Tax Credit has been proven to make a huge difference for working families. It's about working families, about children whose parents are in the labor force at a time when the wage gap has gotten larger, that employers have not, even though there may be more jobs in the market, they haven't increased wages in a long time. Policies like the Earned Income Tax Credit have really made the difference and have kind of made up that wage gap that is existing right now with employers and have made a huge difference. It's the number one way that we have in this country to bring families and children up above the poverty level, and it's really directed at working families. So, you know, we really think it's one of the best policies that policymakers can implement in states to make a big difference for very important group of families.
And the other recommendations that you've mentioned, paid sick leave and higher pay and expanded unemployment benefits, these recommendations are in the data book, but how do you sell them to the majority party that controls the Senate and the U.S. House and here in Michigan, the state legislature? How do you sell it to them?
Well, this is the way for us to ensure that we're going to be a successful country in the long run. Investing in children is about investing in their families. And these are working families. I mean, all of those programs are directed at working families. In order for their kids to be successful, their families need to be successful. And if we really are concerned about the long-term economic health of our country, they're really some of the smartest investments we can make today.
Do you get the chance to have face-to-faces with Republican legislators who may feel that this is not the direction they want to go in? Do you get a chance to actually sit down and try to sell this message?
We work with folks really across the aisle and also work with advocates who do a lot to try to, you know, change policy, because mm-hmm. in order to create positive change for families, we need to make sure that whoever is in power understands what's at stake and understands what the sort of evidence base is for the implementation of these programs and policies. And we know that, you know, folks are in it in order to make their state or their city or their country a better place. And so we are certainly taking opportunities as often as we can to have those kinds of conversations.
Can nonprofits and foundations, how much can they do what government is unable or unwilling to do, do you think?
Nonprofits do take on quite a lot where government has not intervened. We support many nonprofits and as a foundation to do just that. However, when we look at kind of the big scheme of things, all the money that foundations have, all the money that's kind of going into nonprofits is really just a drop in the bucket compared to the budgets of most states and certainly the federal budget. That's the place where we can make the most difference. And so we try to focus on improving policies and programs for kids, and a lot of that has to do with what happens in the government, even though we do also support nonprofits, certainly, as a foundation.
And the price that we will pay as a country if these trends and conditions continue?
There's a lot of evidence around the fact that children who grow up in poverty, especially when they're young, especially when they're exposed to very low incomes for a long period of time, have trouble in school, they're less likely to graduate from high school, that there are ripple effects in the long run. And we really need every child to be able to achieve their full potential right now in our country. There's a lot of study around kind of what could be the potential impact on the GDP in the long run if we don't do anything. There's certainly evidence around the fact that there is going to be a skills gap in our country. And we need to make sure that these young people are prepared to take on that work.
Laura Speer is with the Annie E. Casey Foundation, out today with the 2015 Kids Count Data Book, one of the first looks at child poverty during and after the Great Recession. And you can review the data book at their website, aecf.org. That's aecf.org. Laura, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thanks very much for having me. I appreciate it.